Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we're going to talk about the many hauntings at Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear about it. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you prefer listening ad-free, you can do that. You can get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can check it out for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon is in with me today.
Well, hello. Why am I not surprised that we're headed back to Pennsylvania?
Oh, there are so many hauntings in Pennsylvania.
So many, right?
Right. So what I'd do is that I've been hosting the Grave Talks for Tony, and I love doing that. We dive into different locations, haunted houses, a haunted fort in this case, and I hear some of the best ghost stories. So I'm like, I want to share them so you can hear them on this show. And you can always go to the Grave Talks and check them out. This is Fort Mifflin. I think the name of the episodes, it's two parts. The hauntings at Fort Mifflin, something fancy.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
If you want to dig deeper into it, to this whole story about Fort Mifflin, go to the Grave Talks.
One thing I have discovered hosting that show is that there are so many places I want to visit. The lady I talked to is the executive director, and her name is Beth Beattie. And someone has asked her before, why did they put the fort so close? I can't even get this out with a straight face. Why did they put the fort so close to the airport? Which is a great question for a fort from the Revolutionary War.
Oh,
but
no.
She has been asked that, which makes me laugh.
Oh, you guys.
So the fort goes back to the Revolutionary War. So the site of the fort is a Revolutionary War site. There was a fort built there. The British came in. They won the battle. The American soldiers who were there left and burned down the fort, and they left the flag flying. So even though it was a victory for the British, they still were able to leave the flag flying. No, I don't think anyone was lost in that battle. But the fort went on also to play a key role in the Civil War. They used it for prisoners of war in the Civil War. They used it for yellow fever patients. I have talked to so many people who are at different locations around the country, old locations that were used for yellow fever patients. So when you think about all of the things that have happened, and this place had been left empty for a long time, and she even brought up at one point all of the things you don't know that happened there.
What about today?
It is
what's it used as today, or is it a fort
that you can go visit?
So we could go.
You can go through on a self-guided tour. You can do a paranormal investigation. And they do
fun.
A lot of paranormal investigations there.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody.
Like, everybody, come on. Let's go, guys.
Let's go.
Come on.
Let's go, guys. Come on.
Like, everybody, let's pick a night.
Fun?
Let's go. Well,
awesome.
And that's what's been fun about the Grave Talks is that I've decided what I'm doing is just putting together paranormal vacation ideas for people. Because there's so many places all over the country that are really, really fascinating. And Beth
was your paranormal travel agents right here.
And Beth was so good. And she's been the executive director for, I think, about 12 years now. So like I said, you can listen to both parts. I think it's an hour in total, the episodes. But I just took about 8-10 minutes of our conversation about a few of the hauntings and things that she has even experienced herself. Here is Beth Beattie, the executive director of Fort Mifflin.
My favorite ghost story is the one of the unknown tour guide. Now, and this is the spirit of a Revolutionary War soldier who's often encountered in or around the Powder magazine. What I find so amazing about this story is that it's not that just people are seeing this entity, but they are interacting with it. There have been a couple of cases where we're self-guided during the week. You come in, you pay your admission, we give you a detailed admission map, and you explore on your own. And in two separate cases, groups came back to the office to thank the team here for the really knowledgeable Revolutionary War soldier in the Powder magazine who knew all about the siege.
Oh,
when there was no one on site.
No one. That's how real it was to them. They thought it was a reenactor giving them a tour.
I mean, and that kind of thing has happened here numerous times. The visual is so compelling that people think it's a real person. A few years ago, we do living history programming that spans the fort's entire tenure from its early construction all the way through World War II. And about 5 years ago, we were doing a World War II program. The reenactors had all spent the night. And I'm standing back by the blacksmith shop, which is the next building down from the Powder magazine, which is where the unknown tour guide is typically encountered. And I'm talking to one of the reenactors, and he says, "Oh my God, I got to tell you about this crazy thing that happened last night. We were looking for my buddy. We're standing outside, like right where we were standing talking. And I look up and I see him standing at the beginning, at the entrance, near the entrance to the Powder magazine, talking to a Revolutionary War soldier. And when I called out his name, the Revolutionary War soldier vanished." And I said to him, I said, "Have you ever heard the story of the unknown tour guide?" And he said, "No, what's that?" So without the power of suggestion, and we all know that's the power of suggestion is very powerful, he was validating the presence of the same spirit in the same location, which I think is really cool.
And it's so real to him that he sees the two talking together. So
yes,
the spirit he saw was as real to him as the actual person standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that groups would be like, "Thank you for that. That I want to thank that nice guy.
That was so awesome. It was so believable." Another case where someone saw an apparition and came and reported it to the office about 10 years ago on Halloween. A visitor came in kind of late in the day, and everyone's getting ready to go home. And came back to the office and say, "You didn't tell me you were getting ready for a Halloween party. There's a Civil War soldier down in the casemates." And there was no one there.
Oh, and once again, that real to them.
That
thinking
real.
It's somebody in costume.
Yeah, the paranormal experience can be incredibly compelling. My most surprising personal experience happened just about a year and a half ago. Our restrooms are haunted. People hear footsteps, you know, things, the towels come out of the container, that kind of stuff. About a year and a half ago, or maybe it's 2 years now, we were doing one of our open investigation evenings, which is a ticketed public paranormal investigation. It's a great way for newcomers to try out this hobby. And our paranormal host, Greg, is in the men's room, and the men's room's on a hallway in a building. And at the end of this hallway is what I think is probably the last payphone in Philadelphia. And Greg hears the payphone ring. So he comes out and picks up the receiver, and it's dead, but the phone is still ringing. So his routine is he'll send me an email or a text message after one of these evenings, kind of tell me how it went. And so he told me about this. I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy." So on Monday, when I come into work, there's three cars in the parking lot. We were doing a restoration project on the floor in the our main exhibit space, which is in the soldiers' barracks. And I know who the three cars belong to, and they were planning on working that morning. So I go directly into the restroom building. I open the door to the building, and a voice from the men's room says, "Hello." I say hello back. I pick up the phone. Sure enough, it's dead. And I go down to check in with the guys working on this project, and there all three of them are. I'm like, "Well, who was just in the men's room?" No one. The voice was that said hello to me was so real, I didn't even freak out. I just presumed it was one of these guys. And subsequent to that, that same voice has said hello to me on numerous occasions when I get out of my car in the parking lot. That's so I don't know who it is, but somebody's very polite and says hello. We've had a number of interesting things come up recently in the last few years. There's someone who runs like a paranormal summer camp for teenagers. And they pretty much come every year. They spend a day. And that's another interesting thing. I'm sure all of your listeners are aware of this, but a lot of our visitors are surprised that you can have a paranormal experience in broad daylight. You know, it doesn't need to be midnight on Friday the 13th or Halloween.
Exactly.
Like, the energy is here 24/7. So these kids come and they do some investigating. They do a little history tour. And one of them was really surprised. She picked up French EVPs. Couldn't figure out or understand why this would be happening. Well, there were French prisoners held here right after the fort was recommissioned in the very, very at the very end of the 18th century. And the fort was actually reconstructed under the direction of a number of French military engineers. So French would not be out of line here, but it's an unexpected experience. And just about a year ago, I had a mom who called up on a Wednesday. She had camped here Friday and Saturday, the previous Friday and Saturday nights with her son's Cub Scout group. And she says, I have a really weird question. I'm like, you've definitely called the right place. And she recounts, she says, I'm very sensitive to this. I was very nervous about spending the night. Friday night was fine. I just heard like footsteps and that kind of stuff. She says, but Saturday night, in the middle of the night, I'm awoken by a man right outside my tent giving orders in French. And they slept in the Northwest Bastion, and beneath the earthworks there is what's called a counter fort, which is sort of like an engineering support system, which was designed by Henri Tussaud. So there would have been
definitely a French connection.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? She had so many stories.
Oh, I love it. So good.
And, you know, there's just so many things that happened, you know, and the fact that I heard this from another location recently, the Octagon Hall Museum in Kentucky. That place is haunted. They also had people thinking there was people dressed in period clothing as a tour guide. They're like, we don't have tour guides. And it's so real to them. In this case, they went to the office at Fort Mifflin and said, hey, we just wanted to say that tour guide was great the way he showed up at that one place. They didn't see anyone. That's how real that was to them.
Oh, my gosh. You know, could you imagine working there and being into history and being into the history of the fort? And then if you could possibly have a ghost that had been there that could talk to you and tell you what it was like.
What's really interesting about a lot of these places, and Fort Mifflin is definitely one of them, they dive into the history to try to figure out who that person might have, who is haunting that area might be. So they have theories, like there's a screaming lady that here it could be this person, this person, this person. They have another spirit where they think it's, they've done some research and they really think it's this man who got really sick during the Civil War. He had dysentery and he decided he's going to leave. So he leaves as a deserter and there's this whole story and it's pretty tragic, but he ended up at the fort as a prisoner and they think that's who that person is. So it's really interesting when they do the research and they think they know who the spirit is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just think she had some great stories. And what I really liked about her was that she was able to tell some personal stories that happened to her. Mm-hmm. There's more than what I included there, but it was just really interesting to me.
I really loved the story about the mom. sleeping with the Cub Scout group.
Right. And the Cub Scouts weren't there to get a badge in the paranormal. They were there to get whatever badge they were getting.
And you're getting your ghost badge today.
Ghostbuster badge. But then the mom hears French soldiers outside of her. And what's funny about that, too, is she's like, yeah, yeah, the first night wasn't too bad. You know, I heard some different
activity. Which made me laugh. Like, oh, just some footsteps and stuff, which to me would have got me all shook up.
I would be like, I have to do this again? My God, my kid does not need to be in the Boy Scouts if you have to go through this.
Yeah.
But it was the next night hearing French soldiers. And then,
come on, mom. There's a I want my Ghostbuster badge.
So bad.
Come on.
I just think that is, I thought she was really, really interesting.
Oh, so good. Yeah. I think we need to get together and do that. Have a big crowd, you know, just all go in and, you know, take the gear and gosh, they'd probably let us stay the night. If they let the Cubs out stay the night, they'd probably let us
stay the night. They probably would.
They probably would.
It's a good income source for them too. Because the building sitting there not doing anything at night, we'll have some paranormal investigators and make a little money.
Yeah, well, I can't believe they built it so close to the airport.
I know, isn't that funny? That cracks me up. Well, if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, you can get that. Go to Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.